Welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. As we discuss the dissolution of faith in the Western world, and we continue to monitor the international aspect of the faith, because right now, the Christian faith is becoming far more international than it ever was. In fact, that's one reason my daughter's in Uganda for the next 3 months ministering on the mission field, because the kingdom of God is over there too. And in some senses, they're making more progress than we are. And that's what's happening. Hey, church attendance in England dropping from 60% to 6%, and the average age of church attenders rising from 38 to 58 from 1970 to the present day. That means the church is dying out in England, but it's doing just the opposite in Africa and South America. So that's interesting. It seems to me it's getting into an every tribe and nation scenario, and I'm okay with that. I think that's fantastic. And it is true that our leaders represent the apostasy of the West. When Barack Obama, John Kerry, and the others are upset with Africa for the position of homosexuality, and they're apparently just fine with the persecution of Christians in Sudan, because I don't hear them all that upset about that very much, they are effectively reflecting their apostasy, their hatred of the Christian faith, and their hatred of Christ, and their massive apostasy. Which, friends, it's obvious when you see it. When you hear the story, it's even more obvious. And I write the story of the Western apostasy in my book Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. Would encourage you to grab a copy of it if you don't have one yet. But Dave, let me open up here before I get into Nigeria, John Kerry, and the rest. I want to open up with a story I just picked off the internet. I believe this is from Huffington Post, on Joel Osteen. This just came out. He apparently was just interviewed by Larry King and also by HuffPost. He says, Scripture says homosexuality is a sin, but I just don't want to preach about it. That's what he said in an interview with Larry King. This is Joel Osteen, the megachurch pastor from Lakewood Church down in Houston. And Larry King asked him what his views on homosexuality were. The same as they've always been. I believe the Scripture says it's a sin. How can it be if we don't know what causes it? You don't know why you're a heterosexual. There's a lot of things, Larry, that I don't understand, so I just don't want to preach on it or preach about it. Does gay marriage annoy you? It doesn't annoy me. From a Scripture point of view, it's not what my faith would teach, but it doesn't annoy me. So it seems to me that, you know, I thought we were to love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. But you don't get that a lot of that here. Also, recently, Osteen joined Josh Zepps on HuffPost Live, and Zepp read a piece that he liked from Osteen's new book. You know, this guy has never read a piece that he liked from my book.
Well, you should send him a copy of Apostate.
Well, yeah, maybe that's the problem. Maybe I just haven't sent him a copy yet.
The Men Who Destroyed the West.
Yeah.
Available in hardback now at KevinSwanson.com.
So he reads this section from Osteen's new book. It doesn't matter who likes you or doesn't like you. All that matters is that God likes you. He accepts you. He approves of you. Okay, so that's Osteen wrote in his book. Zepps reads it and then follows up and asks if that includes homosexuality. Absolutely, Osteen insists. I believe that God breathed life into every person. Okay, so far so good, right? Check. That's good. Yes, God breathed life into every person. Every person is made in the image of God. Check. I'm right there with you, Joel. And then he says, and you have to accept them as they are on their journey.
Really?
Okay, stop for just a moment. Accept them as they are on their journey. Now, what does that mean? Because people on their different journeys. See, some people are on a journey to heaven, and some are on a journey to hell. There are two different ways we read about in Old and New Testaments. Everybody's on a journey. I agree with that. But should we, I guess, you know, I should accept them. In some senses, Dave, doesn't really mean very much. Apparently, this is code language that is accepted by HuffPost. They seem to like this statement. So he's giving them something they want.
Yeah.
They want this. He says, you have to accept everybody on their journey. I guess there's a sense in which you accept somebody by not, I guess, throwing rocks at them. I don't think we ought to be running around throwing rocks at everybody. But if accepting somebody on their journey means saying, I need to approve of what you're doing on your journey, I'm all A-okay with where you're at on your journey. Okay, if that's what I'm supposed to do, Dave, I think that's just plain wrong. I think that's unloving. If someone's on a journey to do something very awful or on the journey to hell,
I think you ought to stop him. I think you ought to call him to repentance. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. It'd be nice if Joel would do that from time to time.
Well, he doesn't want to preach about sin. He knows it's sin, but he doesn't want to preach about it, apparently, because that would lead to repentance. Kevin, it's like this. You're walking along on the bridge, somewhere that has a big bridge, not like in Colorado because we don't have any rivers, but maybe the bridge over the deep canyon here in Canyon City, and somebody's on the edge of the bridge, and you walk by, hey, buddy, what are you doing? I'm going to kill myself. Do you say, well, he's on his journey.
I accept you on your journey.
I got to accept what journey you're on.
I accept you on your journey, buddy.
Or do you say, dude, stop it.
Stop it. Two words.
Yeah, don't
S-T-O-P,
jump.
New word, I-T, stop it.
Don't jump. Would it be right, say, if you were the pastor of, Stalin? Hey, Joseph Stalin, hey, how's it going, buddy? Oh, I'm going to go kill myself, a million people or so. Hey, I got to accept you on your journey.
Yeah, some guys.
Self-discover here. You got issues.
Some guy's on a journey to a public school, let's say, and he's got a station wagon full of hand grenades and automatic weapons. He's on a journey to kill 78 people. Should we accept him on his journey?
Well, Joel would. Joel would say,
well, that's what
brother,
he says.
Brother, you're struggling with issues. You got to work it out. You're on your journey. Maybe you have some daddy issues. Maybe, you know, maybe somebody mistreated you at the school. But, we got to just love you and accept you for what you're doing, where you're going, and how you're going about it, apparently.
Yeah.
Best of luck.
Okay. It's pretty sad, Dave. I mean, when the Christian faith is reduced to this.
I think we should probably stand on the words of St. Paul that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he says, do not be deceived. Now, this isn't, don't be deceived. You're on your journey here. Neither fornicators nor idolaters, adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Basically, all sinners who are so proud not to repent will not inherit the kingdom of God. The only way you can inherit the kingdom of God is to forsake your sin and to turn to the blood of Christ. Not necessarily in that order. The blood of Christ helps you forsake your sin. But to go along and say, hey, you're just on your journey to hell, brother, Godspeed.
Peace. Sounds like what was it, Ezekiel or Isaiah, one of the prophets,
Jeremiah. Peace, when there is
when there is no peace. Right. There just seems to be a lot of prophets these days. Like there were prophets in Judah, Israel.
Peeping and muttering
and saying peace when there is no peace. When the message that should be said in the Larry King Show or in the interview with HuffPost might be a little more strident, a little more in your face, a little more John the Baptist-y, a little more Elijah-y.
I'm thinking fear, especially where there is no fear.
Okay, be back in just a moment with more. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations.
Every year, Generations with Vision sponsors a Family Economics Conference somewhere in America. This year, we are sponsoring a conference in Denver, Colorado on March 27 to 29, 2014. This is for families who want to reintegrate the family into a family economic vision, for families who want to find ways to mentor their sons and daughters into the family economy. This is just the conference for you. How do you choose the optimum business streams for your family? How do you integrate your children into the family economy? What about budgets and debt and capital investments? And what about inheritance and taking care of grandpa and grandma along the way? We'll have young entrepreneur panels, mom and daughter panels, retail and e-commerce panels, audience surveys, and some great keynote speakers, including family economics guru Alan Carlson and entrepreneur Dave Tucker, and yours truly, Kevin Swanson. Join us for our Family Economics Conference in our backyard, Denver, Colorado, March 27 to 29, 2014. Register today at FamilyEconomics.com. That's FamilyEconomics.com. Register now. Early registration ends on December 31st.
Welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you. And there are some strong political forces in the media constantly encouraging the major pastors of the day to kowtow a little bit to the interests of homosexuals or certain pharisaical groups that don't want to repent of nothing. There are certain politically correct sins that apparently do not need to be repented of by certain classes in our society, but the rest of us are called to humble ourselves and to plead the grace of God upon us because we are constantly taken down by our sin. And we're constantly being assaulted by temptations on the part of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we have to fall down on our faces before God and plead the mercy of the cross of Christ upon us. Evidently, homosexuals don't have to. At least they're not being encouraged to do so by guys like Joel Osteen. Okay, but John Kerry is really upset with Nigeria.
Really? Mm-hmm. What did Nigeria do to John Kerry?
Nigeria has criminalized homosexual clubs with penalties of up to 14 years in jail. Now, everybody needs to understand that this was Christian law for about 1,800 years in the Christian West, or closer to 1,500, 1,600 years in the Christian West. You had Christian law that, in Christian culture, that pretty much dominated for a long, long time until Karl Marx and Charles Darwin showed up in the 19th century. And you need to understand, friends, that we have a rabid, powerful apostasy that is corrupting Christian culture and Christian morals in the Western world. And it comes by way of these apostates, these men who were raised in Christian homes, like Nietzsche and Karl Marx, somewhat. He was baptized into a Lutheran church, as was Nietzsche. And they turned on the faith in a very, very aggressive manner. And I believe that they did so. Guys like Karl Marx and Nietzsche were definitely infected by Satan himself. There are points at which they effectively quote Satan and confess that they are functioning under a spiritual demonic force. Nietzsche confessed to that. Marx confessed to that. Now, you probably didn't know that there were such strong spiritual forces working in the apostasy of the West to bring the West to its knees and to destroy the Christian faith in the West, at least a large portion of it. Obviously, a remnant still exists. But you need to understand something of the forces that brought this about. And yet, there is still something of Christian law being enacted in places like Nigeria. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said Monday the United States is deeply concerned by a law that dangerously restricts freedom of assembly, association, expression for all Nigerians, ergo homosexuals. And Americans are doing what they can to try to export homosexual marriage to all the African nations now too. And I'm saying they're doing that because Americans are apostates. At least as a country, we've turned into a nation of apostates. Dave, it's interesting. John Kerry is very concerned about what happens to homosexuals in Nigeria, but boy, you don't hear him saying much about Christians in Sudan. I mean, the largest purge of Christians or anybody in the last 30, 40 years was the genocide brought about in southern Sudan against Christians. I think it's close to 1 million, maybe 2 million Christians have been killed in southern Sudan. And here you have, 10 homosexuals in Nigeria that are being discouraged from touting their homosexuality in the public and discouraged from, pulling this out of the closet and turning Nigeria into a series of gay marches, gay pride marches. And so there, there's a little bit of pushback against the forces of evil in Nigeria. But the minute, the satanic forces come up against millions and millions of people in Sudan, you don't really hear the American government doing a whole lot about it.
No, the American government seems to have a different agenda. Now, John Kerry makes these comments during Happy Pride Month around the world. So apparently, I didn't know there was Happy Pride Month around the world, but apparently there's Happy Pride Month around the world. And John Kerry says, I want to take a moment to join the people around the world in celebrating lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Pride Month. So that's good. And then he goes on to say, hey, this month is about the assertion of equality and dignity. It's about the affirmation of fundamental freedoms and human rights. It's about people taking pride in who they are, no matter their sexual orientation, gender, or identity. Protecting universal human rights is at the very heart of our diplomacy as we remain committed to advancing human rights for all, including LGBT individuals. We are committed to advancing these rights, not just in this month, but
And why doesn't he say anything about the 612 Christians killed in Nigeria in 2013? Here's the article from FoxNews.com and the report, of course, from Open Doors. I think it's Brother Andrew's organization. Dave, Nigeria is the second worst nation in the world for the persecution of Christians. And, of course, that comes by way of Islam. The number one, by the way, most dangerous country in the world for Christians was Syria, with 1,213 killed in 2013. And that's followed by Nigeria. It's the second worst country in the world for the persecution of Christians, mostly from anti-Christian mobs that are Muslim, made up of Muslims. The Muslims are pressing very, very hard in Nigeria to try to destroy the Christian faith. And I wonder if John Kerry is in support of that. Because it seems to me that the number one enemy on the part of Christian apostates, or those who lead the Christian apostasy in the Western world like John Kerry, is Christianity. They're going after the Christian faith. So on the one hand, he's very concerned about homosexuals, and he's celebrating, quote-unquote, Gay Pride Month around the world. And on the other hand, you don't hear him saying very much about the 612 Christians killed in Nigeria, where they burned down their churches and they crucified and drove nails into people's hands and tortured them to death. He doesn't really say a whole lot about that.
No, well, promoting gay rights, according to John Kerry, is the very heart, his words, the very heart of U.S. policy. I think protecting Christians, that maybe is the pancreas or maybe the appendix of U.S. Diplomacy, but it's certainly not the heart of U.S. diplomacy. There is a very clever post that somebody puts after a story here in Free Republic. And there's this child, a small child, maybe 5 years old. He's emaciated. He's crying. He is starving. And he says, my major concern is to see an increase in the rights of wealthy white homosexuals. You know, the world is starving. Christians are dying. And what are we about? We're about pleasing 2% of the population in Europe. That's the heart of our policy. Let's give a hug and a kiss to all the homosexuals while the kids are dying, while Christians are being killed. That's the heart of U.S. policy. And you know, when John Kerry comes out and says things like that, I think he is declaring very clearly for the whole world what side of the battle lines he's on.
A person's worldview, a religion, really impacts the way they conduct themselves as the Secretary of State of the United States. Isn't that interesting? Worldview actually does impact nations. It impacts state policy. If you had Christians, I mean born-again Christians who still retain something of the Christian faith versus the apostates, as Secretary of State of the United States of America, of course that would affect state policy. Worldviews do have impact upon politics, my friends. And Christians killed for their faith in 2013 doubled over the previous year, which means the breakdown of the faith in the Western world, that is England, America, the powerful nations around the world, has resulted in, to some extent, more persecution of Christians in places like Nigeria, Syria, and Pakistan. This article is very, very powerful, Dave. There's also an article out of the Wall Street Journal that came out a month ago or so called The Bible in the Bird's Nest. I don't know if I ever read this, but I think people need to read this article. This is powerful, powerful stuff. And, you know, thankfully, there are some of the major media that report the horrible, horrible persecution that's happening to Christians. North Korea, of course, very, very high in terms of how many people are being persecuted. And it probably is number one. Right now, it appears that Syria is number one just simply because we don't have the numbers. We don't know what's happening in North Korea. We just have some isolated stories that are coming out of North Korea from time to time. And just recently, there was a handful of Christians, about 80 North Korean Christians who were executed by a firing squad on Sunday, November 3rd, according to a report in the South Korean daily, Jung-ang Ilbo. Those put to death also included North Koreans accused of watching South Korean DVDs, etc., smuggled into the country. But apparently 80 Christians were killed, and part of the reason they were killed, at least one family, had kept a Bible for several generations in a bird nest. Now, Dave, I mean,
you're not supposed to keep it in a bird nest. You're supposed to respect it and put it in the living room on the bookshelf, right?
Yeah. Well, no, they were hiding it. It was there for a number of generations, and it was in a magpie's nest perched in a tree near their home. The family had been Christians since before the founding of the communist regime. So we're talking 60 years or 70 years.
Okay, so this is quite a family legacy.
Talking at least three generations, right?
That's a pretty good legacy.
Right. Recently, we did that interview, you know, on the generations of North Koreans that were faithful to the faith. And it was one of the most powerful interviews I think we had ever done on this program. Hopefully our listeners have caught that interview. But evidently his family had hid this Bible in a magpie's nest, and they had worshipped in secret for more than half a century. When a neighbor cut a branch off the tree, their Bible was discovered. Three generations of the family disappeared. In the refugees' words, the Christians were sent to a place of no return. So there's just these isolated stories that are coming out. Most recently, 80 Christians shot to death in North Korea for owning a Bible, or somebody discovered that they were bowing their heads. In the one story that we covered, this family did nothing but fold their hands and look up. They did not close their eyes. They folded their hands, looked up, and hoped that nobody watched. It's the only way they worshipped for a period of 30 to 40 years, 50 years. It's the only way they worshipped. They never worshipped in a church. They couldn't ever gather as a church. They couldn't even connect as family members and talk about Christian things very much. They did it maybe a little tiny bit, like once every 4 to 5 years, they might say something, like one little thing. But the rest of the time, they worshipped very, very, very secretly, because within about 10 minutes of somebody noting them closing their eyes, they would be arrested and killed. So friends, this is the kind of stuff that's happening. Christians are persecuted. Homosexuals are being rewarded by the most powerful countries in the world. And a street preacher in Scotland has just been arrested and held in custody for mentioning sexual sin. Dave, this time it wasn't homosexuality, it's just sexual sin in general. See, this is what they're going after. They want Christians to talk about sin at all. This is the goal. I think this is the goal of the West. Western apostates, Christians speaking about any kind of sin whatsoever, you know, fornication, adultery, homosexuality. Apparently this pastor was preaching on sexual sin. It's Tony Miano. I think he's connected with the Ray Comfort organization, if I'm not mistaken. But police in Scotland arrested him after a woman complained that he'd spoken about sexual sin. Tony is a U.S. preacher, former L.A. deputy sheriff, was remanded in custody to appear before Dundee Sheriff Court on January 9th. I have no idea how that turned out. We've got to follow up on that. But evidently, he just mentioned sexual sin. He's preaching about sin in general when he mentioned sexual sin, including adultery, promiscuity, and homosexual practice. And it's at that point, this woman ran up, smashed his camera, or one of the guy's cameras, and then remanded them to the police, and the police arrested Tony Miano, and he has to show up in court. So, Dave, this is the kind of stuff that's happening to Christians. And meantime, homosexuals in Nigeria are being encouraged and rewarded by Secretary of State of the United States.
Yeah, if only he had preached against the real sins of the day, like failure to recycle or owning a firearm or trying to be a patriarch in your home or something, then it would have been okay. But as soon as you take on the sins of the culture, that the culture is already blessed and the culture has said are not sins, that's when you're speaking blasphemy to the state and blasphemy to the culture. And the culture cannot stand blasphemers. Blasphemy is always outlawed in any culture. It just depends who the God is.
Yeah, every religion has its blasphemy. And Tony Miano committed the crime of blasphemy in Scotland because the religion that runs Scotland is a man-centered humanism that absolutely enjoys and rewards homosexuality and as much deviant sexuality as they possibly can. That's the religion of humanism. And here's an article, Dave, came out of, I think, the UK, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, it is. And it's talking about Britain's rising generation, not merely indifferent to religion, but at least mildly hostile. They're getting more hostile to it. You know, church attendance down to 6%. Average church attender in England is 58 years old, up from 38 in 1970. And so, you know, I mean, just a bunch of old people and the whole thing's dying out. And so, you know, not only are they more neutral, but they are also more and more hostile towards religion. Now, again, you know, towards religion, that just means towards Christianity, ergo Christianity. They're not hostile towards the Hindus. They're not hostile towards the Buddhists. They're not hostile towards the humanists because that is their religion. Everybody has a religion, including the humanists, and they have their own churches. They call them public schools. Their religion is their view of metaphysics. It's a naturalistic view of metaphysics. We have a supernaturalistic view of metaphysics that includes both the supernatural and the natural. They say it's only the natural. So that's their religion. Their religion is what they believe about reality, about truth and ethics. So Britain is becoming hostile towards Christianity. The article says it's hostile towards religion, but no, they're being hostile towards Christianity. That's the religion they're hostile towards. A poll last year among Britons aged between 18 and 24 found that 41% saw religion, ergo Christianity, as a source of harm in the world. And 14% had the opposite view.
Well,
that's only 14% said, nah, it's not hostile. 41% said Christianity is a source of harm. Christianity is a bad deal, and it needs to be eliminated. These people need to be persecuted off the face of the earth. Now, they didn't say that yet.
Not yet.
They didn't say that yet. They didn't say that this year. But this is the direction things are headed, at least in the apostate Christian West. If you're interested in how this all came about, anybody's curious as to how this came about, you need to read my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, available at our website at kevinswanson.com. And by the way, while you're at it, get more than one copy. Get some copies for your children and grandchildren as well. And by the way, you get more than one copy, it's 50% off from then on. Okay, you get your first copy. After that, it's 50% off.
So the next 1,000 copies they buy, they're only paying like the price of 500 copies.
That's right. Next 1,000. So, actually, next 1,000. You want to go 1,000 copies? I'll do you 60%.
60%?
I'll do you 60%, yeah.
Okay.
Dave, so, I want to get the word out. I just dragged 5,000 copies of this into my basement last Tuesday.
I know, and I've been talking to your wife, and she'd like you to get the word out, too.
She would. I have 5,000. Guys, I have boxes lining my walls in my basement, okay?
Kevin,
you want to know how many boxes 5,000 books constitutes? Okay, I got to get these things out. If you want to get the word out and you want to salvage the faith in the West, get more copies of my book, Apostate, for your church, for your family, for your friends, especially for college kids.
Mrs. Swanson would really like to get the apostates out of the basement. Huh, that's kind of a little joke there.
Yeah, and that might make a good advertising, you know, we're going to advertise World Magazine. Maybe that's the way I ought to do it. Mrs. Swanson wants apostates out of the basement.
Get the apostates out of the home. Yes. You know, I'm afraid that those people who believe that Christianity has been some kind of scourge on civilization are in for a rude awakening. I think it's going to follow the general script of Orwell's Animal Farm. Yeah, right now the church is not very good. We're a drunken farm owner, so to speak. But once you get rid of Farmer Jones, you're going to find out just how bad things can really be without God's order in place. Mm-hmm.
I think the Muslims will make that point for us.
The Muslims and the humanists, they'll both be there. You know, those when you side with evil, it turns out that you're siding with evil and evil things will happen. You find out that they're hooking their wagon to an evil mistress that will take them down. M.L. Macon, I'm reading a book right now, and there's a quote from him that I think describes the American attitude. And this is a book about Puritanism, and he says Puritanism is the fear that someone somewhere is having a good time. And this is what they view about Christianity. How dare you tell me that my sins that I'm enjoying, that I'm indulging in, are something that I ought not be doing? You're probably just afraid I'm having a good time. And in reality, what we're saying is there is something far, far better than the false idols, than the unsatisfying sexual encounters. There's a real relationship with the creator of the world that awaits if only you'll embrace it.
Yeah. I mean, the idea that somehow sexual freedom that's produced 50% of kids born outside of wedlock, half marriages ending in divorce, and a massive increase in homosexuality and the breakdown of our social systems has really created a wonderful, beautiful world for us. Friends, the problem with drunkenness is the day after. The problem with homosexuality is AIDS. The problem with sin is the judgment of God that comes a day or a week or a month or a year after. That's the problem. And granted, for a season, people find a little pleasantness in breaking God's laws. It's kind of the taste of stolen fruit is good for a second. But the fruits of it later on are horrendous.
Kevin,
and this is the warning that we like to bring on this program. We want to drive people to salvation because we need salvation in Jesus.
Yeah, that is a problem. It is a problem. Drunkenness is the hangover the day after. But the other problem is that by being filled with the spirits, alcohol, you're not being filled with the spirit. And so you're displacing the best things. You're filling up on the worst things. You're drinking all the sewer water. And when the time the fine wine comes out, you're not thirsty. The good stuff is there. I think John Piper talks about having a taste for the really true pleasures in life. And the real true pleasure in life is walking with peace with God.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It comes from the Psalms. Okay, my friends, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. If you'd like to pick up a copy of Apostate, which sort of interprets almost every other news story that we go over on this program, if you'd like a copy of it, just go to our website and order it, generationswithvision.com, or you can get it at amazon.com, or just check out our website for the book, apostatethebook.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.